Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. In this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus in the 24th chapter of Luke, Jesus arrives where the disciples are gathered. Jesus himself, it says, stood among them, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." And what was their reaction? They were startled and terrified right from the beginning. They just don't listen to Jesus. "Peace be with you." Ah! Because they thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look, here are my hands and my feet. See, it is I myself." Now, most of us, and I certainly believe this until I read an article not too long ago, that the whole "look at my hands and my feet" thing had to do with, look, you know, sort of like with Thomas, "see the holes in my hands and the holes in my feet." But it's probably actually not supported by Scripture. It turns out that when you wanted to figure out whether someone was a ghost, you would look at their hands. You can't see them in my hands because I have big old honking hands. But for like Bill, if Bill held his hands out, you can see his bones. Well, ghosts don't have bones. So look at my hands. There's bones there. And look at my feet. Why? Are they on the ground? Yeah. I'm not a ghost. You see, it is I myself. And the words that Jesus uses for "I myself" is ego eimi. I am. You think of anybody else that uses that? What's God's name? I am. It's a device used throughout Luke. Over and over again, Jesus will say, "Ego eimi," and everyone who hears it knows what he's talking about. It is I myself. And then my favorite line, one of my favorite lines in Scripture. "And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering," he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" It's great, right? Jesus is like, "I'm hungry, dudes. Ghosts don't get hungry." But my favorite part of that line is, "while in their joy and disbelief." I feel so akin to that. You know, throughout much of Christianity, we ended up with a kind of certainty. One of my favorite professors once said, "In order for faith to exist, so must doubt. For without doubt, what do you have? Certainty. And certainty is not faith." So isn't it interesting that over time, at least in some parts of the Christian world, we've developed a question, you know, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "I believe in Jesus Christ." "Do you have any doubt?" And if you have any doubt, then you don't pass the test. You're not quite a Christian. That's strange in light of this scripture. Because Jesus, in pronouncing, "I am fully who I am, I am not a ghost, I am the rabbi, I am the one who God sent, I am God's son, I am myself," Jesus allows the disciples to be themselves. For in their joy and disbelieving, Jesus sends them out. He doesn't wait for them to have perfect certainty. While in their faith, while in their joy and disbelieving, Jesus understands that human beings are more complex than certainty. That we actually hold things in tension. Joy that Jesus has resurrected just as he said he would, mixed with absolute abject fear because Jesus was resurrected just as he said he would. And there he is standing before them. Can you imagine if Jesus appeared right here, right now? You'd all clear the room. And I, of course, you'd have to beat me to the door. And I'm faster than I look. But Jesus understands that fear and joy, disbelief, and faith can actually exist all in the same moment. And that as he asked the disciples, "Do you not see that it is I myself?" He also was saying, "I see that you are you, yourself, the very one I was called to be present for." And even in the midst of your imperfect faith, in your joy and your disbelief, I am sending you out to proclaim repentance and forgiveness to the whole world, beginning in Jerusalem. So Jesus appears to the disciples, and he appears to us as well. Maybe not like right here in bodily form, but Jesus still continues to appear to us in wine and bread and spirit and people, in challenge and in love and in presence of the Holy Spirit. I hate that I never get to do a children's sermon here anymore because all the parents have migrated except for the little babies over to the 8 o'clock service. But I asked the kids, well, where do you see God here? Where is Jesus? Where can you see him here? And one of the little girls said, in the duck. I said, what duck? She says, the duck. I said, I think it's a dove. Or what do you always call it?
The pigeon.
The pigeon. And the holy pigeon descended on Jesus. It does. It does, but it has a totally different ring to it. Because you know what pigeons do?
They poop on
your head. There you go. It is a blessing, yes, yes, if you're a pigeon. But see, God continues to be present in all of those incredible ways for us, in that meal that we share and in the love that we share for one another. And I pointed out to people that we see Jesus and we touch Jesus, especially in one another. And God continues to be present with and through us, even in the midst of our joy and disbelief. And so we are not called to perfect certainty, because probably we'll never find it. But God loves us just for who we are and how we are, and sends us out in our brokenness and insufficiency, in our perfection and enthusiasm, in our apathy, and with one another, so that everyone can hear the good news of Jesus, that we are indeed redeemed and saved and loved. And so Jesus says, look, it is I myself, ego eimi, and I accept you yourself, and I send you out. Amen.